Last night, I had the honor of doing my first wedding. It was for Loretta Ettinger and Terry Zell. Loretta is the daughter of Dale Ettinger, whose funeral I did last summer. Dale's parents were Hazel and Olin Ettinger, who were members here for a long, long time. And so, having done that funeral last summer, I'd made the connection with her. She reached out and asked if I would do the service, and it was meaningful for her because not having her dad there, she had the person who did her dad's service. So that was really special to be able to do my first wedding last night. Okay, next Sunday is going to be a big and fun Sunday. Not only are we going to have our blessing of the backpacks, we're students and educators, you bring your backpack, your briefcase, your lunchbox, whatever it is that you want to have blessed. We have backpack tags that we'll hand out and bless those. We are also simultaneously having a school supplies drive for Davis Townsend. As you know, there are significant needs in our community, and children are often the most affected. So please, if you're out and about this week, get some school supplies and bring it next Sunday to donate to Davis Townsend. And with that in mind, next Sunday is going to be Camp Sunday. So ever since the five confirmands and I got back from camp, we've been wanting to do a Camp Sunday where we show you some of the things that we got to experience at camp and sing some of those songs. It's just been really hard to find a Sunday when everybody can be here together. So it's going to be a very camp-like worship service. We're going to be singing Sunday school songs. I think they're going to do a skit. It's going to be really, really fun. So next Sunday is going to be a really good day. And finally, many of you remember Mary Ellen Hinson. Her husband, Duty, died this week. And so we want to lift her in prayer as she begins this long, long journey of grieving. God, we thank you that you hear us when we come to you in prayer, that you know our sorrows, you know our joys, that every tear we cry is held in your hands. We pray for our sister Mary Ellen as she has experienced the death of her husband, and as she is now beginning the journey of grief, as she learns to live life without him. We ask that you would surround her with your love, give her comfort, give her your peace, and may this prayer shawl remind her of the love and care that we have for her here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. And I think I forgot we were going to start passing these around. That's so new to me because I hadn't done that before that I forgot. So remind me next time that we can start doing that. And we have a few birthdays this week. Travis Rose, Joe Hedrick, Olivia Turner, and Gary McLean. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your path, but have chosen our own way. Instead of putting others before ourselves, we long to take the best seats at the table. When met by those in need, we have too often passed by on the other side. Set us again on the path of life. Save us from ourselves and free us to love our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sin, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are free to love as Christ loves. Amen. Jesus Christ, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, speaking of evil, if you offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, to your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interest on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interest, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight to the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Word of God, word of life. The psalm is Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is
Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And forgive not all God's
Who forgives all your sins.
And heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave.
And crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies your desires with good things. O Lord, you provide vindication
and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses
and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
The second reading is from Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire, and darkness, and gloom, and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them, for they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to God the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns them from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, Let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had been crippling her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." And when he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox and his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Do you have some tattoos on your leg, Cameron? Are those tattoos or band-aids? Oh, I think they're stickers. I like them. I heard that you started school on Friday. Did you get a new backpack? Yeah, and you got to go and meet some new friends. And Conrad, you're starting school in just a few days, the 29th. Just a week. So that means you have one more week to have as much summer fun as you can, right? Well, the story that I just read, it talks about a woman who had been bent over for 18 years. Can you bend over? Imagine being like that for 18 years. I think that would be really difficult for a lot of reasons. One, I think it would hurt your back, it would hurt your neck, your muscles would get really sore and really tight. But also, I imagine that a lot of people looked at this woman and thought maybe she looked funny, and they wondered what she had done to make that happen to herself. And so I was thinking about you guys as the new school year is starting. You're probably getting ready to make new friends and meet a lot of new people. And there might be some kids at your school whose bodies might look a little bit different than our bodies, or whose minds might work in different ways than our minds work. And I just wanted to remind all of us that however it is that God made our bodies and the bodies of others, and however God made our minds and the minds of others, that even if they're different, that's okay, and that's a good thing. Because when God creates people, God doesn't make mistakes, and God loves everybody that God created, and God's image and God's love is on the heart of every person that God created. So in your new school year at your new school, or even if you're out and about running errands and you see someone whose body might be different than yours or whose mind might work differently than yours, just remember God loves them. And they might need the reminder that God loves them too, because sometimes when people are different, other people get scared by that and they pretend that those people don't exist, or they walk by them quickly because it's hard to acknowledge them. But maybe one of the things we can do as Jesus' followers is remind people that they are loved by God too, and that God loves differences. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today, and thank you for our church. Thank you for the ways that you created every person's body and mind. Help us to see that differences can be good and beautiful. Help us to remind others that you love them no matter what. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are many moments where the sacredness and the gifts of being a pastor hit me hard, hit me in deep and profound ways. For example, every Sunday when I stand at the font and I get to declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins on behalf of Christ, that's a really powerful moment for me, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Last night when I officiated that wedding, I got to be the one who offered the words that they used to make promises to one another for the rest of their lives. And I got to say, by the power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife. I had to hold back the tears because it was a very moving moment. Now, certainly there are many moments all throughout the week that it hits me hard, the profound gift of being a pastor, but I will offer you one more for the sake of time this morning. It is my great joy to preside at Christ's table. It isn't my table, it's Christ's table. But I have the gift of offering the words of welcome and offering the prayers. I have the immense joy of offering you Christ's body on behalf of Jesus. When you come forward, I look you in the eyes, not as a moment of personal connection, but as a moment of looking at you in the eyes to remind you that you are seen by God, that you are known by God, and that you are loved by God. Jesus' body was broken for you, and Jesus' blood was shed for you. And as you are receiving the gifts of Jesus' body and blood, I want you to know, on Jesus' behalf, that you are seen and known and deeply loved by God. That is why I look you in the eye. You are seen by God, and you matter to God. Eye contact is really significant, isn't it? Eye contact is an important part of communication, no matter what we are trying to communicate. But without offering words, eye contact can say so much. It can show respect. It can show that you are paying attention. It can offer empathy. By offering eye contact to somebody, it can show that you matter to them. Even if just for a few seconds as you look the checker at the grocery store in the eye, or as you walk by somebody on the street. The woman in today's gospel story has captured my attention and imagination all week. And she's had me thinking a lot about eye contact. Eye contact is such a significant part of what it means to be a human. And yet for 18 years, she was bent over, quite unable to stand up straight. I wondered if it had truly been 18 years since someone had looked her in the eye. We know differently and think differently about physical and emotional conditions than they did in biblical times. The biblical understanding of any kind of sickness was that it was caused by a spirit of Satan. Now we know that to not be true at all, but because they believed that, it affected the way that they treated people who they thought were sick. And so this woman, who was already on the margins of society because she was a woman, also had this sickness that was perceived to be caused by a spirit of Satan. Having those two things combined, it is quite likely that no one would have even given this woman the time of day, unless maybe it was to judge her or condemn her. This woman who could not stand up straight, maybe she had osteoporosis. Maybe she had a severe forward flexion of the spine due to age or hard manual labor. We don't know her official diagnosis, but we can only imagine that this woman for 18 years endured significant neck and back pain, both bone and muscle pain, and that she also experienced social isolation at the fears and judgments and perceptions of other people. So often, conditions that people experience, even if they are physical, have emotional and social experiences of them as well. But it was also this unnamed woman who, despite her condition, despite the pain that she was experiencing, faithfully went to the synagogue that day. Listen to these words, imagining her perspective. On this particular Sabbath, there was a special excitement at the synagogue where she regularly went to worship. A Galilean preacher and prophet, Jesus of Nazareth, had arrived in town and would be teaching there. She and the others in town had heard reports about Jesus and how he talked about God's reign arriving soon and how he healed sick people. She was not sure how many of the rumors to believe, but she was trying not to get her hopes up. Her life had already had too much pain and too many disappointments to count. But when she entered the synagogue that day, the place was abuzz. As Jesus began to teach, however, the room hushed. Moments later, his words turned from teaching to invitation. He had caught her eye, no easy feat, given that he had to lean over and incline his head to do so. "Come here," he said to her. She slowly made her way to the front of the assembly, and what happened next amazed the whole congregation. "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When this man, Jesus, spoke those words and put his hands on her broken, bent body, she felt power surge through her. Without hesitation, she straightened her once crooked back. She stood tall and praised her God. this unnamed woman, who was no one special. In fact, she was invisible, probably to most people, because she was bent over and she couldn't make eye contact with them. For 18 years, she had been lost in the crowd. And that Sabbath day, she fully expected to be lost in the crowd at the synagogue. That day, though, Jesus noticed her. It was her that Jesus saw in the midst of countless others. It was her that Jesus made eye contact with. It was her that he called forward. It was this invisible woman that Jesus laid hands on and healed. Brothers and sisters, Jesus saw then and still sees today those who are broken and invisible by others. Jesus notices those who are isolated and lonely. Jesus loves and cares for and values those who feel unwanted and unwelcomed. If you feel like this bent over woman, isolated, invisible, lonely, Jesus sees you. Jesus knows you. You matter to Jesus, and Jesus loves you. And to all of us, Jesus sees and notices all people, especially those on the margins, those who are invisible, those who go unnoticed by others. Jesus sees the ones that we don't. Jesus sees the ones that we look away from, the ones that we want to walk by and pretend that we don't see. Jesus sees and notices them because they matter to God. They too, just like us, are created in the image of God and are loved deeply by God. May we who are seen by God, who know that because we are seen by God and matter to God, may we see others as Jesus does. And may our noticing and seeing them help them to know that they are seen and loved by God as well. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. You crown your church with steadfast love and mercy. Guide us continually in our baptismal covenant to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Use our diverse gifts in service to the whole people of God. God, in your mercy, you satisfy the needs of all creatures. Protect the habitats of fish and birds. Repair ecosystems damaged by misuse, neglect, or natural disaster, that all creation may thrive. God, in your mercy, you make your ways known to all people. Inspire the rulers and leaders of nations with your compassion and mercy. Raise up activists and community organizers to restore places affected by violence, poverty, and inequality. God, in your mercy, you provide justice for all who are oppressed and relief to all who are afflicted. Heal those who are bent over by addiction, depression, and anxiety. Set free all who cry out under the weight of mental, emotional, or physical distress, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, Joe, Boyd, Gyla, Chip, Mike, Sandra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God, in your mercy, you call us to delight in the Sabbath. Renew our bodies, minds, and spirits in this worshiping assembly. Give rest to all who lead our congregation in worship, study, and service. God, in your mercy, generations bless your holy name. We give you thanks for the community of saints who have gathered in prayer and praise in this place. Support us in your love until we rest forever in you. God, in your mercy,
receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Thank you.
God of love, you call us beloved children and welcome us to your table. Receive our lives and the gifts we offer. Abide with us and send us in service to a suffering world. For the sake of you, beloved child, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Christ's presence, there is fullness of joy. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thank you. Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Love your neighbor.